to preach out of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. I'd like to preach on the subject, walking in the Spirit, or being led by the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit or being led by the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Lord, bless your word this morning. Have your way in this service. Again, I ask that the Holy Ghost would be here in power and use me and open ears and eyes. Bless the people in Jesus' name and amen. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, or made known, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like. Sounds like a Senate committee hearing, don't it? You knew I was going to have to say something along those lines, didn't you? Which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but, this is the contrast, isn't it? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So today I'd like to just talk to you a few minutes about walking in the Spirit or being led by the Spirit. You know, Baptists a lot of times are scared of the Holy Spirit, it seems like. They don't like to talk about His person much, but the Holy Spirit is very important in the Christian's life. And He, like we were just singing, He does lead us. God, the Holy Spirit, leads us. The Bible sets forth in this passage the works of the flesh, and I read those off to you, and the Bible states plainly that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In verse 21, but the Word of God gives a contrast here. And it says, the fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh are 180 degrees opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. They are two different categories. The Bible tells us that we're to walk in the Spirit. God's Word says we're to be filled with the Spirit. Acts chapter 11 and verse 24 says concerning Barnabas, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and faith, just like Barnabas was. We should desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We should pray to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We should strive to be filled with the Holy Ghost. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? Well, I just have several points here this morning to try to bring out some things that's practical in your life. Number one, it means to mortify the flesh. To walk in the Spirit means to mortify the flesh. If you'll look at verse 24 of Galatians chapter 5, it says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. To walk in the Spirit means to mortify the flesh. Now, I'm going to read off a bunch of Bible verses this morning, and I'm not going to stop and let you look them up because, for sake of time, I started too late this morning. You can write them down and look at them later, please. The first verse I want to read to you is Romans chapter 8 and verse 12. The Bible says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. The first step in walking in the Spirit or being led by the Spirit is to mortify this flesh. In other words, I can't do what this flesh wants to do that's wrong. If it's wrong, I need to mortify it. If it's sinful, I need to mortify it. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5 through 8 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness. Paul wasn't like one of these Baptist preachers today. He didn't speak in generalities. The average Baptist preacher today says, now don't y'all sin. But Paul, he listed them, didn't he? He listed what the problem was. Paul said, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now ye also put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Mortify those things. The first thing about walking in the Spirit is you're going to have to mortify the flesh. You're going to have to mortify the flesh. To be led by the Spirit means to mortify the flesh. It also means producing fruit. To be led by the Spirit of God means to produce fruit, doesn't it? We looked at that in verse 22. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. True salvation is fruit producing. Now, where I'm living now is the house I was raised in. My dad planted some apple trees. Now, those trees have been neglected for years, many years, 20 years probably. They haven't been pruned. They haven't been trimmed. But you know what? Every year, they produce apples. They don't produce like they ought to. They don't produce like they could. They're diseased and blighted. But I guarantee you, they're apples. I say all that to say this. I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm talking about a Christian ought to have some fruit. It ought to be fruit that you recognize. It might not be perfect fruit. It might be blighted fruit. It might be stunted fruit. But it'll be fruit. There ought to be some fruit in the Christian life. True salvation is fruit producing. If the Holy Spirit indwells somebody, He will produce fruit. John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. That is what a Christian does. He brings forth fruit, doesn't he? Or she. They bring forth fruit. I just want to ask you, Jesus went on to say, and I think this is important, these things I command you that you love one another. That's fruit, isn't it? Is your life producing fruit? Is your life producing fruit? Do you love the brethren? Romans chapter 6 says, for when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Before I saved, I was producing stuff, but it wasn't good. I was doing things, but it was works of the flesh. It was stuff I'm ashamed of now. But now that I'm saved by the grace of God, I'm hopefully producing fruit. I'm no longer a servant of sin, but a servant of righteousness, the Bible says. John chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, you know, let me just say this. That word purge means what it says. And the way God purges sometimes is He makes things difficult for us.
And I don't like to be purged. I don't like to be whittled on, cut on.
Have you ever seen a guy that actually does the pruning on apple trees or grapevines or anything like that? Baby, I mean, they just cut and whack, and by the time, or roses. You ever see anybody trim that knows what they're doing, actually prune roses? When they get done, you look at it and you think, well, that'll never even come back. They've ruined it. A lot of time, God, He cuts us back pretty hard, doesn't He? With difficulties and problems. But God says that He's the husbandman. He's the husbandman. To be led by the Spirit means to mortify the flesh. To be led by the Spirit means to produce fruit, doesn't it? Produce fruit. Thirdly, to be led by the Spirit means we have the witness of the Spirit. The witness of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to turn there. You can too if you'd like. Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to read verse 11 to you. Romans chapter 8. You know, a lot of people, I don't think they've ever been in a service where the Holy Spirit came through. I thought about that as I was driving here this morning. We have a dearth. There's a famine of that. I desire the Holy Spirit's presence in the service. People talk about it and sing about it, but a lot of people don't know anything about it. But once you've been in a service where God, the Holy Spirit, shows up in power, you want more of it. And we need Him, don't we? We certainly need Him. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. The Bible says, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." His children are led by the Spirit. God's children are led by the Spirit. Galatians, remember I read to you, it says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." We are to walk according to God's way. We are, as the hymn we sung, we are to step in the light. We're to walk in the light. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 13. "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit." Does God the Holy Spirit indwell you? I like what one man said. He said, "How does somebody as big as God move in and you not know it?" If God the Holy Spirit indwells you, there ought to be times when He speaks to your heart. There ought to be times you feel His presence. There ought to be times, if I can put it like the hymn writer, there ought to be times that there's joy bells ring in your soul. There ought to be times that you're happy in the Lord. There ought to be times that you're joyful in the Lord. There ought to be times that you're confident in the Lord. His Spirit ought to bear witness with your spirit that you're the children of God. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." See, when you're saved by the grace of God, there's something in you that makes you cry out to God, isn't there? Just like a newborn baby, you know, that's what they, I guess they still do that. I haven't been to one of these things in a while. But when my babies came out, they grabbed them like that by the feet and they flipped them on the bottom. Why'd they do that? Because they knew they was mean already? Well, they'd have been right if they'd have guessed that, but that wasn't it. They were trying to get that baby to squall, wasn't it? Cry out. Listen, a baby, if it's healthy and everything's normal and everything's right, that baby will cry out. And a newborn babe in Christ will cry out, "Abba, Father." There'll be signs of life.
I just want to tell you today, I know you're not supposed, I know, I'm a Baptist, okay? And I know you're not supposed to talk about feelings. Don't talk about feelings. But I got news for you. It feels good to be saved. Amen. I'm not ashamed of that. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. All those are what? Feelings. Do you ever think about that? I've got love, I've got joy, and I've got peace. Hallelujah! That's good news, isn't it? That's good news. You can have it. If you're not saved, you can have it. Jesus said, I give you joy. I give you peace. You can have those things. Those are fruit of the Spirit, aren't they? I'll be honest with you. I don't understand people who say they're saved and yet they don't experience really knowing Christ. If that's your situation, you need to work on that. That's not good. There's a joy in knowing Jesus Christ. There's a peace in knowing Jesus Christ, and there's a comfort. The Holy Spirit is what? He's the comforter. Is there not a comfort in knowing Jesus Christ? Is there not a comfort in no matter what comes into your life that it's going to be okay because you've got Jesus Christ? Is that not a comfort? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. To be led by the Spirit means mortifying the flesh, producing fruit. It means the witness of the Spirit. It means sure glory. It means sure glory. To be led by the Spirit means sure glory. Verse 17 of Romans chapter 8 says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." His children, they have the witness of the Spirit, but they also have a sure promise of glory. I don't know about you, but this world is aggravating. And I don't, I'll be honest with you, the older I get, the less I like it. And it's a good thing, Brother Tim, that this is not all there is. It's a good thing that I'm a joint heir. Think about that. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That is beyond our comprehension, isn't it? I think it is. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21 says, "We're going to rule with Him. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with Me in My throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with My Father in His throne." In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul said, "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world?" We're going to rule with Christ. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Our hope, our comfort is not in ourselves. It's not in ourselves. It's in Jesus Christ. You've probably heard of Charles Wesley. He wrote some great hymns. He was the brother of John Wesley. There was a Moravian brethren named Peter Bowler. And this brother Bowler was talking to Charles Wesley about his soul. And he asked Charles Wesley, he said, "How are you going to get to heaven?" He said, "By my good endeavors, I hope." And Peter Bowler, he just shook his head like this, looked down, shook his head. Charles Wesley wrote down in his diary, he said, he hurt my feelings when he shook his head. He said, "If I don't have my endeavors, what do I have?" Well, I got news for you. Your endeavors won't get you to heaven. Your good endeavors won't get you to heaven. You better have your hope placed somewhere else. Our hope, our comfort is not in ourselves, but it's in His righteousness, isn't it? It's in His righteousness, His grace. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us
everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. I have good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. I'm not saying you shouldn't do good deeds. I'm not saying you shouldn't work. But that's not where your hope's at. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and Him alone, isn't it? If your hope's anywhere else, it's misplaced, isn't it? If your hope is in anywhere, if your hope's in the Baptist church, God help you. But if your hope's in the Baptist church, you're not going to make it. If your hope's in your baptism, you're not going to make it. If your hope's in the preacher, you're in bad, bad shape. Our hope, if your hope's in your church membership, you're not going to make it. If your hope's in your parents were Christians, you're not going to make it. Our only hope is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. You say, preacher, you say that all the time. I know I do, but that's the truth. I don't know what else to say. And I rejoice in it, don't you? I don't get tired talking about it. I hope you don't get tired hearing about it. I rejoice in the fact that my hope's in Jesus Christ and Him alone. So, you remember the hymn we sing sometimes? It's probably my favorite hymn. It's one of them anyway. The fellow that wrote it was named Edward Mote. And it's called The Solid Rock. But in that hymn he said this, "Dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne." Dressed in His righteousness alone. It's not His righteousness plus some of mine. It's not my righteousness mixed in with His. It's His righteousness alone. So, to be led of the Spirit or to walk in the Spirit means to mortify the flesh. It means producing fruit. It means to have the witness of the Spirit. And it means sure glory. Sure glory. So, let me just ask you in closing here today, are you being led by the Spirit? Are you being led by the Spirit? Are you mortifying the flesh? God, the Holy Spirit, wants to lead every one of us. He wants to lead every one of us. He wants to help every one of us. He wants to direct our paths, as the Bible says. If we don't listen to Him, then whose fault is that? It's our fault, isn't it? If we get to where we can't hear Him, whose fault is that? It's our fault. I'm just trying to tell you today, you need to stay close to the shepherd to where you can hear the shepherd's voice. How do you stay close to the shepherd? Well, you get in this book right here, number one. You come to church, number two. You pray, number three, and this is not in the order of importance because probably prayer is the most important thing other than the Bible I know about. We need to pray, don't we? I tell you how I start most of my prayers is, God, I'm sorry. Huh? I met a mechanic one time. Every time he'd say something, he'd say, huh? I don't want to get in that habit. But you know what? We need to pray, don't we? We need to pray. Prayer is the hardest. I really think in the Christian life, prayer can be the hardest thing. You don't take the time to do it. You don't want to take the time to do it. The flesh don't like it. You're busy. There's just a million reasons not to pray. I'll tell you what I found out, Miss Bledsoe. If I'll get alone with God, I'll never come away and say, boy, that wasted my time. If ever I'll take the time to actually get alone with God and spend some time in prayer, it's always productive. It's always worthwhile, isn't it? Being led by the Spirit. Are you mortifying the flesh? Are you producing fruit? I mean, if we looked at, well, that plastic tree's not going to have any fruit on it, but if we looked at your tree, would you have some Christian fruit? We should be producing fruit, shouldn't we? People ought to be able to see God in us, Christ in us. To be led by the Spirit is a daily thing. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's a daily thing.
If you can take your religion on and off like a coat, I'd worry about that. Christianity, when you get up in the morning, he's right there, and it's a daily thing. Being led by the Spirit is for every situation. I've gave you this illustration before, but I love this illustration. There was a little old lady, and she was having some difficulty, and it wasn't a big problem. It was a small problem, but it was a difficulty to her. And she went to the preacher about it, and she said, I'm having this problem here. And he said, well, have you prayed about it? And she said, it's just a small problem. And he said, ma'am, every problem to God is a small problem. Every problem. We ought to pray about everything, shouldn't we? We ought to be led by God in everything. I'll just give you this quote by Spurgeon. I'll close. He said, a pilot who only occasionally directs the ship is very little better than none. Child of God, the Spirit must lead you in everything. We want Him to lead us all the time, don't we? We want Him to lead us in big things, little things, every day, all the way. Like the hymn, I need Thee every hour. We need Him, don't we? Are you led by the Spirit? Are you walking in the Spirit? I don't know about you, but my desire is to walk in the Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want Him to be pleased with me. If you're not saved, the first thing you need to do is be saved, isn't it? You need to be saved if you're not a Christian. But if you are saved, then you need to walk in the Spirit. You know what? You can avoid a lot of trouble by walking in the Spirit. The Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Isn't that what it says? Well, that sounds like some pretty good advice, doesn't it? It's kind of, it's kind of basic. It's like don't drive on the wrong side of the road and you won't get hit. Right? But if you drive on the wrong side of the road, you're liable to get creamed. So don't do that. If you want to avoid the works of the flesh, And don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Brother Jonathan, you come ahead.